Now, I want you to do something. I want you to take your Bible, your iPad, your iPhone, whatever you have, and stand. And we're going to go to Psalms 19, and we're going to look at verse 1. Listen to what the Bible says. It says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork." The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. Folks, I want to talk to you about what is God like. What is God like? The Bible says this. It says, "The heavens declare the glory of God." That is to say that a person who has no concept, no idea, no perception of God can literally look around, can look into the sky, can look at the creation and say, there is a God. There is a God. Because the heavens and the creation shows us that there's a God. You see, Pastor, what about that person that maybe is on a remote village somewhere and they've never been to a church like this? They've never heard. They're not in the Bible Belt. They've never heard a preacher preach. They don't get it. What about them? Well, this is what the Bible says in Romans. Romans chapter 1, verse 19 says this. They know the truth about God because He made it obvious to them. For ever since the world was created, people have seen the earth and sky. Through everything God made, they can clearly see His invisible qualities, His eternal power, His divine nature. So they have no excuse for not knowing God. The Bible says there is no excuse. Simply because the heavens and the creation of this world, God created the world. The rocks, the rills, the hoes, the hills, the birds, the bees, the flowers, and the trees. God created all. I don't want to be like the guy that said, once I was a tadpole beginning to begin. Then I was a frog with my tail tucked in. And then I was a monkey in a banana tree. And now I'm a professor with a PhD. No, no, no. God created it all. But what is God like? A little girl was in kindergarten and she took a crayon and she was drawing a picture. And her teacher said, "Sally, what are you drawing?" She said, "I'm drawing a picture of God." The teacher said, "Well, Sally, nobody knows what God looks like." She said, "They will when I get finished." A young girl brought her fiance home. She was going to introduce this young man to her father and mother. And her father said, "I want to have a heart-to-heart with him." Certainly, I can understand that. I want to have a heart-to-heart. I want to have a man-to-man. And he sat down with a young man and he said, "Son, tell me about yourself." He said, "Well, sir, I'm a theology scholar." "A theology scholar, that's interesting. What are your plans for employment?" He said, "God will provide." "What about the children?" "God will provide." "What about a house? What about a car for my daughter?" "God will provide." They had dinner. The young man went on his way. The wife said to the husband, "How was your meeting with the fiance?" He said, "Well, it was bad and good." "Bad and good? What do you mean?" He said, "Well, it was bad in the fact that he has no plans for employment. It was good in the fact he thinks I'm God." Pastor, what is God like? Let me tell you four things about God. First of all, God is a spirit. God is a spirit. John 4:24 says, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. That is to say that God can't be contained within boundaries. God didn't begin when the beginning began. He began the beginning. He didn't start with start. He started start. God can't be contained within boundaries. God can't be contained within a body. God's everywhere. Because, ladies and gentlemen, God is a spirit. But God's not only a spirit. God is a person. You say, what do you mean God is a person? Well, what I mean by the fact that God is a person, he has a personality. God has emotions. God feels. God thinks. God forgives. God's a person. But not only is he a spirit, not only is God a person, but I want you to know God is holy. God is a holy God. And what separates us between God, us and God, is God's holiness. God's a holy God. Isaiah 59:1-2 says this, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that he cannot save. Neither is his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God. And your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. Why are we separated from God, ladies and gentlemen? I'll tell you why we're separated from God. It's God is holy and we're unholy. God's holy and we're unholy. You say, but Pastor Benny, no. God is holy, and we're unholy. Now get this down. God's a spirit. God's a person. God's holy. But I want you to know something else. God is love. God is love. Let me tell you something. Because God was a holy God, there had to be punishment for sin. Because God was a holy God, ladies and gentlemen, there had to be punishment for your sin, and there had to be punishment for my sin. And the punishment for that sin was God gave his son, Jesus Christ, as a propitiation, as punishment for our sin. See, God being a holy God, and there had to be a ransom, there had to be payment for sin, and that sin debt was paid in full when Jesus Christ died on the cross. God's holiness demanded there had to be payment and judgment for our sin. Now, I am convinced when most people see God, they see God as three things. When most people see God, they see God as three things. First of all, most people, when they see God as a fence. See, what are you talking about, Pastor Benny, as a fence? Well, here's what I'm talking about. They see there's a fence, and God's on one side of the fence, and we are on the other side of the fence. And we can't get to God, we can't reach him, because there is a fence that separates us. But here's the good news. God crossed the fence. See, when we could not come to God, God came to us. God crossed the fence. See, we can all be traced back to two people. We can all be traced back to a man named Adam and a woman named Eve. And God put Adam and Eve in this beautiful garden. And get this down, folks. When God created Adam and Eve, God's plan was for that man and that woman to live forever in that garden. And they would continue to produce. And it would be heaven on earth. That was the plan of God. And God said to that man and that woman, you can eat of every tree, but there's one tree. And when you eat of that tree, you're going to die. And what he was saying, death, it's going to be spiritual death. Because when you eat of that tree, it's going to separate you from God. You said, Brother Benny, the problem was the apple on that tree. No. Problem wasn't the apple on the tree. It was the pear on the ground. Some of you are slow, but you're worth waiting for. And the moment, ladies and gentlemen, they ate of that tree, they became sinners. But not only did they become sinners, because you're traced back to Adam and Eve, you became a sinner. And the Bible says in Romans 5 and 12, wherefore is by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. But God did something. After they sinned, they realized they were naked. And they tried to put on these fig leaves to clothe themselves. See, folks, let me tell you something. Many of you are putting on fig leaves to try to clothe yourself. Those fig leaves, for some of you, is sin. You're living it up, and you're trying to clothe yourself. But deep inside, there's still an emptiness. Some of you, you've got more degrees than a thermometer. But let me tell you something. You'll still be empty. Some of you are just trying to move on to the next thing, the next relationship, but it will leave you empty. Some of you, Pastor Benny, if I can just possess, if I can just get this, I'll be happy. No. He that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver. It will leave you empty. Because it's just fig leaves. And it won't work. And God knew it wouldn't work. And that's why in Genesis 3 and 21, did you ever notice this little verse? Why is it there, Pastor? And Adam also and his wife, did the Lord God make coats of skin? I'm not real smart. I'm some dumb, but I'm not plumb dumb. If he made coats of skin, that means an animal was sacrificed. It means there was a sacrifice for sin even in the very beginning, because the fig leaves wouldn't do it. And folks, the fig leaves of this world won't do it. Only the sacrifice of God's Son will do it. See, some people, they see God and they see God as a fence, but some people don't see God as a fence. They see God as a ladder. You say, Pastor, what do you mean they see God as a ladder? Well, here's what they think. If I just keep getting better, one day I'll be good enough. If I just keep getting, I'm better than Harry. I'm better than Sally. Why, I'm a member of the Pink Lemonade Sipping Society. I'm better. I'm good. But I've got a question. How good do you have to be? Listen, if good makes it, Billy Graham will make it and I won't. There is none righteous. No, not one. We're not good. We need a Savior. But Pastor, I'm doing a little better. No, it's not, friend. You know why a lot of people can never get saved is they never get lost. They never get lost. They're always trying to do better. One guy was having bad headaches, and he goes to the doctor, and he says to the doctor, he said, you know, doctor, I don't know why I've got these headaches. I don't stay out late like other men. I don't smoke like other men. I don't drink like other men. I don't know why I've got these headaches. The doctor said, I think I do. He said, why do you think I've got them, doc? He said, you've got your halo on too tight. But see, we see God as a ladder. And I just got to keep moving up. I'm good enough. I think I'm better than Harry. So what? So what if you're better than Harry? That matters not. And then I'm convinced when it comes to God, some people see God as a trash can. You say, well, what do you mean? Well, when it comes to the relationship with God, they say, God's not interested in my garbage. God's not interested in my trash. God's not interested in my junk. I've gone through relationship after relationship. I've done this, Pastor. I've been sinful. You don't understand about the addiction. You don't understand about the relationships. You don't understand about the affair. You don't understand about the abortion. You don't understand. You don't understand my life, Pastor. So God's not interested in my trash. But you know what's amazing? That's why God came. That's why God came. Look what the Bible says. I want you to get this verse. And it came to pass as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. What was he doing? He was just hanging out with a bunch of sinners. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto the disciples, "Why's he eating with the publicans and sinners?" And Jesus heard it. He said, "The whole don't need a physician, but they that are sick do. But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice." Get this down, folks. He said, "For I've come not to call the righteous, but the sinners." What's he saying? I came for those that have made a mess out of their lives. I came for those that have messed up. I came for those that have sinned. I came for those that are dysfunctional. I came for those that marriage is not good. I came for those that have had a checkered past. I came for those that are outcast. You know what's amazing? In John chapter 4, Jesus spent time with a woman that had had five husbands and was living with a man. They weren't married. And Jesus walked out of his way for that lady. The lady that had five husbands, and was living with a man. But those are the kind of people that Jesus cares about. And those ought to be the kind of people that the church cares about. Because that's why he came. That's why he came. To save people from the uttermost to the guttermost. To save people that have made a mess out of their lives. He says, "I don't care what you've done. I love you. I don't care what you've done. I'm willing to forgive you. I don't care what you've done. I'm willing to embrace you." That's the kind of God that we serve, ladies and gentlemen. That's who he is. Did you ever think about this? Christmas is right around the corner. Right around the corner. But before you jump to Christmas, my birthday's Friday, so remember that. But Christmas is right around the corner. Did you ever think about this? God said, "I'm going to make the announcement of my son. I'm going to make the announcement of my son." I thought, man, that's going to be big. Big announcement. He made it to shepherds. They were the lowest of the low. Their testimony was not even admissible in the court of law. They were the downcast, the rejected individuals of society. But God said, "I'm going to make the message to those people." And then when he died, you would have thought he would have died around a bunch of priests. But he looked over on his right, and there was a thief. And he looked over to his left, and there was a thief. That's who he came for, folks. See, I'm almost done. If you get finished before I do, just slip out. Listen. You know what God is? We shouldn't see him as a trash can. We shouldn't see him as a ladder. We shouldn't see him as a fence. But here's how you ought to see God. You ought to see God as a door. You ought to see God as a door. You say, what do you mean as a door? Well, look what the Bible says. I am the door. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. He's a door. And the good news is, ladies and gentlemen, every person can walk through that door. Every person can walk through that door. No matter what's in your past, you can walk through that door. You know, I started thinking about that, and I realized something. Not only is he a door, but every person that I'm preaching to has a door too. You say, what do you mean, Brother Benny? Every person out here, every person that's listening has a door. Uh-huh. It's the door to your heart. It's the door to your heart. And many of you are going to open that door to Jesus. And many of you are going to close that door to Jesus. But nevertheless, we all have a door. And you know what's interesting? You said, Pastor Benny, you're exactly right. I've got a door. It's right here. Where's Jesus at? Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in with him and sup with him and he with me. I love paintings. I was researching and I found a painting by William Holman Hurt. It's called The Light of the World. And I saw that painting and I said, I like that. I thought that's beautiful. And I thought there's got to be a story behind that. Jesus is knocking on the door. I've got to have something for this message. I've got to have something. There's got to be a story behind that door. And then I realized something. There's no outside knob. The door can only be opened from the inside. The only person who has access to your inside door is you. The only person. See, let me say this. If there's 1,000 steps between you and God, God has and will make 999. But you've got to make one. You've got to make one. You've got to make one. Many times I get a call. And this is the call. Brother Benny, Daddy's very sick. Mama's very sick. Brother's very sick. Will you go and try to talk to him? They're dying, Brother Benny. Will you go and try to talk to them? Preacher said to me that he got that call for a lady. And he said, I walked into the room. And he said, I walked up to the lady's bed. And the lady said to me, I'm not interested in God. I'm not interested in church. I'm not interested in you or anything you've got to say. He said, when she said that, he looked on a dresser to his left. And he said he saw a picture of a beautiful girl. And he said, when I saw that picture, I alluded to that picture and I said, that's a beautiful girl. And she said, that's the only good thing out of my life. The only good thing that came from my life is her. And the pastor said to her, I want to ask you something. If she made a great mistake, would you still love her? She said, yeah. If she hurt you deeply, would you still love her? Yeah. If she made a mess of her life, would you still love her? Yeah. No matter what she had did, no matter what she had done, would you forgive her? And that woman said, yes, I would. And then the pastor said, God's got a picture of you on his dresser. And God's got a picture of you. God's got a picture of you. God's got a picture of you. God's got a picture of you on his dresser. Because God loves you so much. This is the third time I've preached this message. You ought to have it down, amen? But I promise you this. After preaching it twice, I said to the Lord privately, I failed again, God. I wish I could say to those people, I wish I could convince those people, God, how much you love them. Because, God, you love them so much. You love them so much. They mean more than the world to you. What's God like? God's love. God loves you. You say, Brother Benny, I'm going through a hard time. He still loves you. But you don't know what I did last week. He still loves you. Because that's the kind of God we serve.
Friend, I trust the message today has spoken to your heart. And if you've never accepted Christ as your personal Savior, I want to challenge you to do that today. It's the greatest decision you'll ever make. And I've often said, it's as simple as ABC. A stands for acknowledge. You've got to acknowledge that you're a sinner. B stands for believe. You've got to believe that Christ and His blood was shed on the cross for your sin. And then C, you simply must confess your sins to Him. I want to encourage you right now to repeat a simple prayer with me. I'll pray the prayer, you repeat it with me if you'd like to accept Christ as your personal Savior. Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. But God, I'm sorry for my sin. I'm so sorry, I want to change. I believe that you died for my sin, and I confess my sin to you right now. Come into my heart, Lord, and forgive me of all my sin. Now thank you, Lord, for forgiving me. Thank you for coming in to my life. Amen. Friend, congratulations on the greatest decision that you'll ever make. And I want you to know, this decision is not based on how you feel right now, because God's not a feeling. He's a fact. This decision is based on the fact that you have done what God's Word says you must do to have eternal life. So congratulations on the greatest decision you'll ever make, and thank you for being with us today. God bless you, and we'll see you soon.